Hello and welcome to The Undermined, a podcast about brute war AI development. My name is Shonko, your host from makingcomputerdothings.com. Let us begin. Welcome to the 20th episode of The Undermined podcast. And my guests this week are Martin Royakers, aka Litabot. Hi Martin, how are you?
Hello Shonko, I'm fine, a little bit sick, but other than that, good.
And Bytekeeper, hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Hi, guys.
Hi, Mom. And first question is just what you've been up to lately, because both of you have been on the podcast before, but I think that was some time ago.
I've mainly been looking like for work, but in terms of my bot itself, I've actually been looking into micro RTS and maybe making a bot for that. So I'm trying out, let's see if some techniques work in micro RTS and see if those can be generalized more into StarCraft and StarCraft 2. And as for my Brutal bots, I'm actually kind of waiting for Brutal API 5. I don't know how much the progress is on that, but once Brutal API gets to 5 and we can finally get bots on Brutal Remastered, I'll be going back into that. But for now, I'll stick mainly to StarCraft 2 and possibly MicroRTS.
First of all, I don't think you should wait for just that, because that might take some time. All we know is it's worked upon, so it's coming. I myself think that I have no real way to affect how soon it will come out, so I will just stick with the current version and build upon that. And maybe adapting our bots will not be that much work, but I don't know. And second, can you speak a few words about the micro RTS thing, because I'm personally not familiar with this thing, and I'm willing to bet that some listeners are not as well.
Yeah, sure. MicroRTS, that's another competition that's held at the CIG tournament. It started by one of the people who was involved in the StarCraft AI community. I don't know the name out of the top of my head, but he eventually decided to make a more simplified version of an RTS game to get some more generalized algorithms working without having to go through the hassle of understanding the more intricacies of the Brutal engine. And so it's much simpler to make a bot for MicroRTS in that regard.
That's not saying much about the game itself.
Oh, yeah, well, the game itself, it's basically just a very simple game. Like the very, very basics that you need for an RTS game. You can harvest resources, build some buildings and create some units, but those are all very generic. It's not some fancy graphics environment. If you look at it, it's just a very flat 2D and everything. So
yeah, it's more like for experimenting, not playing.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe there are a lot of papers on it.
Yeah, and there are more papers, of course, on StarCraft itself, but the thing about MicroRTS is that you can run a lot of, you can do a lot of runs on it. So it's a lot of, it's more useful for generating a lot of results, which is quite useful if you want to publish papers for it. Which is why it's, in academic circles, it's still quite popular.
Interesting. I will check it out. And how about you, Bytekeeper? What were you up to lately?
Well, I was on holidays and Basil decided to die one day after I went away. It was not nice. And I had no way to restart it because I actually needed physical access to the machine. I added a watchdog to it before, but it didn't trigger. And after I got back, I decided to change the network driver because I believe it was causing it. There was some issues I found on the Linux newsletter. I think it looks okay, but I will only know after a few weeks, so crossing my fingers. Yeah. Other than that, my bot is still no progress on my bot. But a little bit progress on JBW API. You know it already. There's it was quite fun. Travis CI is actually playing SC Docker game now to test if the API is working.
That's awesome. Any changes on Bazel lately, or everything is just the same for the moment?
For the moment, everything is just the same. I added those small icons you saw where you can, where some games are tagged if they have a lot of marines or a lot of lurkers, a lot of battle cruisers. I think it's a nice touch, and since I have a lot of unit information, events where I can actually determine when was the unit built within the game and how many were built, I could do a lot more, and I think I will add more statistics. But the next topic will be to add a new map pool, actually.
Sounds good. And do you have an icon for Firebat usage? That's a very important milestone.
Well, if the Firebat usage goes a little bit higher, I might consider adding some icons, but we're still missing a Firebat bot. It's your task, actually.
Yes, the Firebot is coming. You can expect it sometime 2025. So, yeah, eventually. That being said, I wanted to ask you, and let me put you on the spot a little. By now, you must have heard of the Bot Ladder project, and there was some talks about maybe asking you and the Bazel infrastructure to help us a little bit out. Are you open to that in a general sense?
You mean to run bots on the Bazel machine?
More like quality control for bots.
Ah, okay. You mean like you have to submit to Bazel, and if it's working there for a while, you can add it to the bot ladder?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the exact details are not clear yet, as the project is not on that stage, but I would like to cooperate and use your experience with this, because with Bazel you have some good background running bots.
Yeah, I'm open, so no problem. The infrastructure is, it depends on what support you need. I do not want to reduce the number of bots running on Bazel too much, but I could actually run a bot or two on Bazel which would run in the bot ladder, or I could do other stuff. I'm open.
That's good to hear. And of course, I could have just asked you in private, but I wanted to share with everyone these kind of developments. Quality control, meaning that the bots should not crash. It doesn't matter if a bot has a low win rate or it's not very good, as human players are not very good when starting out, so weak bots have a place in the bot ladder, I feel. But crashing is unacceptable, I think. And I want to enable every bot on every map. So what I mean by this, and then that test out every bot on every map, map that it's made for. So if a bot just crashes in one specific map, then I can just disable that map and not disable the bot itself. That sort of thing.
Yeah, that would be possible, but it depends on whether at the moment I'm only planning to support the current season map pool. So if you limit the bot ladder to that one, that should work soonish. I'm not making any promises, but I'm on it. If you mean any map, it would be possible, but I would have to set it up in a different place.
Yeah, there will be always a finite map pool. And of course, I will start out with the current SSCIT map pool because most bots work on those. But yeah, that's the general direction. I would like to see more variety in maps, as we talked about before. A lot of an unexplored opportunity there for humans and for bots as well, I think. And with bots, you don't necessarily have to balance it out for every player. I mean, you can just say that, okay, this bot has an advantage in this map, and you will get an extra gold star if you defeat it or whatever.
Sounds good. You're the host, but how is it coming along, the ladder?
Mostly planning, because I was a little sick this week, but making progress. Currently, there is Java-based development that needs to be done, both in a coordinating server, which lives in the cloud and coordinates games, surprisingly, and the client, which is a Java-based client. It's not hard work, it's just a larger amount of work. I wanted to do this, but it seems it will have to wait a week or two. But coming along and not abandoning it, that's about it. Oh yeah, and a little bit of web development, because I think a website would be nice for this.
Are you open for some supporters, developers, or I think it's currently closed, everything? You're not going to place it on GitHub so everybody could see, or what's the plan?
It's not going to be open source because I don't see the point in that. This is not something that is novel or discovery or anything. So you can see the source if you really want, but there is really no point in it. And to answer your second question, I don't strictly need support. I gladly accept it though. But I have a mixed stance on this, as I don't really like to ask people for free work. So if you want to support, then just get in contact with me and we can work out some kind of arrangement. Because developer time is expensive and you're using your free time, which could be used for anything else or even earning more money. So I can't expect someone to work consistently on this just for free. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so about that.
I would have a question regarding the... what is it, the human versus bot ladder thing? Is that... what's the progress on there, and is there any way to contribute over?
You've been out of the loop a little, I feel. So a few weeks ago, we decided that we want to make a project that is aiming at persistent human versus bot play. What it means is you just download a client, press a button, and you can instantly go into a game and play versus bots. As currently, there are ways to do that, but they involve downloading stuff, configuring other stuff, and the average user or gamer is not that skilled or patient to do this. And I don't really blame them. So a user-friendly and more readily available way to play bots. That's about that. And the status is what I just described. It's coming along. Unfortunately, I was sick for the last few days, but that's a minor drop. Minor delay in a grand scheme of things. And if you'd like to contribute, we can talk outside of the cast.
Yeah, it'll be a little later down the line, because I still got some other things to do, but maybe we'll talk like next month about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But let's go to the next topic. That is, if you don't have any more questions about the ladder. So it's about the OpenAI Dota match last week. I know we are a little bit late to the hype train, and I didn't really want to talk about that, as it is not really StarCraft, but I was contacted by a certain someone who worked on Dota bots. So with that, I'd like to ask you, Martin, to speak about this a little.
I don't know who did you contact with, because I've been out of the loop when it comes to Dota for quite
you,
a while.
You wrote me 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. So it's a little bit of an understatement, though. I've been involved in Dota AI for a little bit of a while, but I eventually went back to StarCraft shortly after. But the thing is about OpenAI. The thing about OpenAI is they've played a game where they only had like 17 heroes out of the entire hero pool. But that said, though, it was still impressive to see how the AI was able to handle those bots. And in the first game, especially, it was actually still very close. Like, the human players stood a chance for quite a while during the game. But then they slipped up a little bit too many times, and the AI can really punish those mistakes quite well. So that's how OpenAI managed to win against them, the professional team. And the second game was a complete stomp, in the sense that the AI was just ahead all the time, and the human players couldn't do anything about it. So despite the limited hero pool and certain items not being allowed to be used, it was still quite an impressive feat. But that said, though, the OpenAI did allow other players to play against it. That's maybe why it's for the best that we're talking about it right now, because the results of those are in, and there have been several strong amateur teams actually were capable of beating OpenAI, like, multiple times. So OpenAI is already quite far ahead, but they've still got a long way to go before they can really truly master Dota. But all things considered, though, it's still quite impressive that they managed to pull it off, even with the restrictions in place. I mean, just imagine winning like a micro tournament in StarCraft AI against the top StarCraft players. Something like that.
Yeah, I felt with AlphaStar it was such a pity that they didn't put it on some ladder and you can't just play against it. But I understand the reasoning behind that. And speaking of Dota OpenAI, a lot of people were outraged that the news was AI defeated the pro team. So and they were raising the points you just mentioned, that it was a limited selection, some items are not allowed, some spells are not allowed, etc. Still, this does not invalidate the achievements of the team. And I'm not a Dota player, I never played it, tried out maybe once, and I watched the matches, and I'm honest, I can't really follow, couldn't really follow all the time. I mean, the champion and the player names sometimes got confused for me. And what I could deduce is the bot had a consistent strategy. And the bot team always knew what it was doing. That is not something you can say about any group of humans. And just by that, they had a tremendous advantage. Of course, they had a near-perfect micro as well, so that helps. But in some cases, the bots were trapped and exploited, so they did make mistakes. They were not perfect, just very good.
Yeah, they were very good at deciding when to fight. You saw that, especially in the second game, that the human players just tried to take fights that they thought they could win, but like the AI was able to look ahead much further in such a short term guard. So I actually haven't really watched the games where the strong amateur teams beat OpenAI, but they were playing for much more what's called Red Dota style, where you don't go in fighting all the time. Instead, you just try to play the objective more, try to focus more on the objectives of the game, which is taking towers and eventually getting like mega creeps.
Yeah, I find many players can't really accept that you don't need to have more kills than the enemy to win. And what do you think we can learn about that in regards of StarCraft? Do you think there are some ideas or concepts involved there that could be expressed in StarCraft games?
Yeah, well, the kind of AI algorithms that the OpenAI used, they were kind of similar to the ones AlphaStar used. So when it comes to like creating game AI in general, those kinds of algorithms seem like the way to go, especially if you have a lot of processing power. But if they were to release like open source or at the very least a paper describing more in detail about how they did it, it could potentially be adapted to also work on less processing power. It would be nice for them to do so, but unfortunately, as far as I know, they haven't released open source yet, OpenAI. So that's a bit unfortunate, which is what limits the ability to apply those techniques in StarCraft.
OpenAI that is not really open.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, a thing that we don't see as much as we could is cooperation between units in StarCraft. I feel that a lot of bots have a very good micro for individual units or even small groups of units, but then some other type of unit comes along and just kind of does its own thing alongside the other groups. It can work out nicely, but combined arms force is always more effective than just the sum of its parts. I mean, I don't know every bot's code, of course, and I don't want to generalize about this, but that is my impression. What do you think about that?
Well, there has been some research in the so-called multi-agent micromanagement. In general, just if you look up on papers on StarCraft about multi-agent systems, there you'll find the cooperation-based approach more. But the thing is that you sometimes don't have the processing power to run entire multi-agent architectures, so you have to sometimes simplify it, which is why it's not always so widely used. And if it's used, it's usually not a top-level bot. Like there are some, because of the time constraints, you have some harsh choices to make when it comes to what can you and can't you compute. So that's one of the limiting factors.
I think one of the main pain points is all, in that that regard is also to decide if it's actually feasible to make a calculation at a certain point. I mean, there are times when one unit is very, very important, and there are times where you just don't care if you lose some, and making that decision is really hard, and then deciding what to do is hard again.
And also hesitation costs you the most in many games. I mean, either engage or flee, but don't change your mind every frame, because then you just get shot by a siege tank.
Siege tanks are actually a good example as well. Many bots do toggling, a lot of toggling, sieging, unsieging. It's only the top bots which are very good at it. Most other bots are doing too much of it. Same with lurkers, etc.
Yeah, a lot of dancing back and forth, but that could be for a multitude of reasons, of course. And speaking of StarCraft, I'm curious, do you play StarCraft Brood War yourself? I'm a little bit inclined and played a few matches, but quite honestly, I suck at it.
Oh, I myself sometimes play it. I play a little bit more Starcraft 2 at the moment, but I've never been like very active at playing Brood War. I'm kind of okay at it, like a D plus rank in Isaac back in the day, but that's about it.
I played it around 20 years ago. I did some online gaming with it. I think I was never any good. I'm not really bad, but it's sad. I think I would lose against Marine Hell.
Yeah, I don't know, but same kind of experience. I played quite some when it came out, and a few years after that. And recently I was going back and just trying myself out, and I got absolutely crushed. So I don't know either. It's interesting that both developers are usually not very good at this game. Maybe not as good, not as good as their bots. Somehow the gaming ability and the bot developing ability seems to diverge at an early point.
Both take a lot of time. I mean, if you want to get good at the game, you have to put in a lot of hours. And I think most of us want to use those hours to improve our bots and not our own skill. I think for me, that's actually the case. I even thought I didn't code any line in my bot for a month.
Maybe the only exception is Antigua, who is a quite decent player.
Yeah, but he only, I won't say he's a bad coder. It's far from it. But he didn't. He only used Steam Hammer as a base and did some experiments. As far as I know, at least he didn't really make huge changes to it. So he used his time to get better at the game and kill the top bots too, which is very nice.
Yeah, I enjoy watching his replays versus bots.
Yeah, and Antigua isn't like a top bot. Like, is his bot called Antigua? Like, if you look at the SCI ranking in general, it's not like a very high ranking bot. So he's good at the game, but being good at the game does not necessarily mean that you're good at actually making a bot.
Yeah, it's just a Steam Hammer fork with little modifications. Nothing wrong with that.
No, and I don't think, I think if he would focus on making a bot, he could actually do a really good bot, but he would start to suck at Brood War itself.
Yeah, unless he did nothing else, only these two things, and I imagine he has other things to do in his life. As we all. And and speak of StarCraft, I was watching some matches in my downtime and noticed that the meta is very, very different than the bot matches. And there are certain things that humans are not doing, and bots are just almost every game. And most prominent is the amount of bases. I mean, in pro games, you rarely see more than 3 or 4 bases, depending on a map, of course, but it seems that human attention caps at keeping 3 bases safe. And for bots, that's an entirely different topic. Bots have infinite attention.
Yeah, but most bots really suck at keeping the bases safe.
Yeah, but they just retake it or something. Effectively, they have more bases for more amount of time, generally speaking. I might be wrong about that. Maybe Basil have some stats about that. I don't know.
I could try to gather some.
That could be actually an interesting statistic, although I don't know how would you measure it. The amount of command centers or hatcheries or nexuses is a good indicator, but it's a little bit misleading, especially for hatcheries.
Yeah, but I can also monitor the amount of minerals being gathered.
Hmm. I think this is an engineering problem that we can overcome. So another thing I noticed, there are certain units that are underused in human games, and it comes down to micro in most of the cases. So I'd like to talk about underused units in general, and not just in human matches, in both matches too, and maybe get a little bit of discussion why they must be. And the most prominent example is scouts, which you just never see basically, and they are generally considered a useless unit. Do you have any thoughts on scouts?
They're basically a useless unit.
Yeah, that's concluded then. Yeah, I can't really say anything about that because it's very, very few cases when I said, okay, a scout could be useful there. Protoss has units that do everything better.
I think the problem of scouts is that they became obsolete when actually Brood War came out and Corsairs took over the thing.
Yeah, because Corsairs are pretty good anti-air, and Scout is only good for anti-air, not much else. But it's horribly expensive for that, and dice to scourge, like, really easily. Okay, next item on the list is just Firebats, because I love talking about them. I actually had some discussions, and Firebats are situationally useful. And in the early or the very late game, they have a niche to fill. But in human games, it just comes down to managing them individually and having the attention on them. And like they are pretty good versus Zerglings, even in the end game. They can depopulate a worker line as well, but you rarely see them used for anything.
They are situationally useful in the Deep Six build that my bot uses, which is why you'll see my bot use it against Protoss, because the Firebats, they do full damage against shields, and they have a bit more armor than Marines, so they can also tank a lot more hits against Zealots. So they have got some use over there. And of course, versus Zerg, they're good against Zerglings, and they can still hit Lurkers even when they're burrowed. So when it comes to finishing off Lurkers that are in red health, they've got some situational use right there as well.
Yeah, and maybe versus Protoss as well. I don't know how well they could be used versus Archons or the like, units that has a lot of shields. And also, what I find is hard. It is hard to micro them because there is a little bit of delay before they firing. Unlike with Marines, which you can just stutter step back. You can't really do that with Firebats. Admittedly, I didn't do any actual testing on that.
Well, if your code manages to fire with Dragoons, you can fire with Firebats as well. I think.
Yeah, that's true. And also, you can place them in bunkers and, I don't know, maybe block something with it. If your enemy uses a lot of Zerglings, that's actually a pretty good use for them. Alright, and if there is no more to be said about Firebats, then two other units on my list. The one is Guardians, which are also suffer from terrible built-in AI, and also they are just clunky and slow, but they are a useful unit, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I actually I really like games where Guardians are coming, but a bit being built, but there are not many bots who build Guardians.
I think their weaknesses can be mitigated. One of them is they can't attack air. I think you have ways to handle that as a Zerg. And the other is they are very slow and tend to group up and thus vulnerable to irradiate. And that is a thing which is hard to control as a human, but as a bot you can just not clamp up them, maybe.
Yeah, you also have the problem that they drift towards what they're attacking, so they start out of range and slowly drift into the range sometimes, so your bot has to cope with that as well.
Yeah, but you can maybe do a stutter step like thing that they fire and retreat a little bit. I don't know. I didn't try that out as well.
But that takes a lot of work, and I guess most authors want to use that work on Mutalisks and Circling Micro.
Yeah, but like proper Mutalisk Micro, you can make Mutalisks worth a lot more than Guardians as well, so.
Yeah, Guardians are expensive. That's their main pain point. And usually the resources used for Guardians have a better place elsewhere, mostly Scourge, because they are very gas heavy. And actually the last unit I wanted to talk about is Dark Archons, which is used in both games. There are a few great examples when they just mind control things into oblivion. But Dark Archons have other skills to speak of. I think it comes down just being a low on the Protoss bot authors list and someday just getting to it, but not now.
They've mainly got their uses against Zerg with the Maelstrom, because it works good against biological units. But then the other matchups, like, it's mostly just waste of potential, because Dark Templars are usually much more valuable.
Yeah, but there is the feedback, which can kill a defiler, and that's quite useful.
Yeah, yeah, and against Zerg, they're good, but again, in the other matchups, it's more of a game.
Maybe they're also useful against science vessels, I don't know, to prevent EMPs.
I was thinking that too, but I haven't actually seen that ever being done.
Usually a science vessel can get off a shot of EMP on the Dark Archon itself before the Dark Archon can do the feedback in time. Not sure, I'll check the range on Liquidpedia just to be sure.
Yeah, but EMP takes time to travel, so it is entirely possible that they can both get off their spells. Of course, then the feedback would damage less, so.
I've just looked it up. Oh yeah, feedback does have longer range, but the thing you have to keep in mind is that if a science vessel shoots off an EMP, then its mana, its energy, will already be quite low. So it does have some use, but it's more difficult to really make it work than you might think. Because as soon as a science vessel can get damaged by a Dark Archon, it can just cast one of its spells and be fine for the most part.
Yeah, and science vessels tend to do that a lot because their spells are relatively cheap. Like, for example, Queens.
Yeah, one interesting thing I almost never saw an EMP being fired. It's very seldom that a bot fires an EMP, I think.
Well, my bot does it against Protoss.
I think it will happen, as in human games, that in bot versus bot games, it's usually brute forcing the win in a general sense, and spell usage is secondary. Of course, that does not apply to every bot. For example, storms are very widely used, but other spells a little bit less. And I think when you can gain more win rate or more wins from these small things, like smart spell usage. We will see more of that. Not to say that bots don't do that, because there are quite a few good examples, storms and irradiates and defensive matrices. I think there are very intuitive or very smart defensive matrixing going on from some bots. But yeah, there is still work to be done in that area. For example, in one of the pro matches I just saw, Scourge heading towards a science vessel, and the other vessels just immediately defensive matrixed it and thus negated the Scourge. That was a very smart thing, and I think it can be done in bots, not relatively easily.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think it's, you have to keep in mind the side effects of what you're doing. It might be easy to add it, and the next game you're watching it and you're thinking, what the fuck is it doing?
Oh yeah, but at the end of the day, you're trading energy for units, and that's a good thing. And Scourge are a little bit expensive, I feel.
So you actually meant to have specific code for Scourge and science vessels. That's not much code, but it is still code you have to test. And if you don't generalize it a little bit, abstract it a bit, it's going to be, I don't think it's worth the effort currently for most bots. There are some bots where you can, where it's actually, and it might be good for now.
Yeah, just an idea. I like to brainstorm and just invent ways for people to waste infinite hours on things.
We're not wasting. I hope we're not wasting our time.
Yeah, but just assigning work to people I don't even know. That's always fun. All right, and speaking of brainstorming, what I also thought about watching these matches is map-specific micro. That some maps have unique features, like the long ramps and the narrow bridges, and I feel that generic unit movement and unit micro often leads to those units' demise. What do you think of that, and what's the cost-benefit ratio on that effort?
You mean doing coding specific micro for specific maps?
Yes, for example, on I think it's Destination, when you have the dual bridges in the starting bases.
Same as before, I think for very, very advanced bots like Purple Wave, for example, or Crazio, it's might be worth it. But most of the bots should focus on the general gameplay improvements. I don't want to suggest they have to do what I say. They can do whatever they want. They can make their bots just shitpost. I don't want to endorse it, but I think if you're trading, if you want to get most of your own time, most bots should focus on general gameplay improvements.
I'm thinking more about in-game advantage stuff. I expressed my view previously, and feel free to debate me on this, but using the terrain to your best advantage does not cost you any in-game resources. It only costs you programming time and thinking time, but you don't have to spend a single mineral to use the terrain to your advantage.
Well, what you could potentially do is a bit more generic creating like a more of a combat map, so to speak, where you pre-calculate some good attack routes based on the map and based on what you can do. With something like that, you could potentially get some map benefit that's a bit more generic. But like making for some specific maps, I myself wouldn't really do it. But something like a more generic map analyzer specifically for something like combat, that might be something to worth looking into.
Yeah, or even at some bots use potential fields. You can even use those to improve that area.
Yeah, there are certain places, for example, high ground spots for tanks and concave places for bridgeheads, which can be pre-calculated. Of course, you can't just use them every time, all the time. But yeah, that might be an advantage. Okay, next topic I have is, as you might know, this week, I will be doing the weekly SSC AIT casts, every 2 weeks, that is. So this week it will be me, and next week Nepeta, and then me again. And we will see how it goes. And my first broadcast is going live on this Sunday, which is the 28th of April. That being said, I intend to have some changes in the format. I mean, it will be mostly about the same thing, which is bot versus bot matches. But I intend to have some human versus bot matches and maybe giving some other perspectives as well. I added some developer commentary as I am a developer myself and I develop StarCraft bots, well, one of them. And I think that's a good addition. That being said, what do you think of these listed changes? And what would you like to see in the broadcasts?
Sounds good to me. I think if you're doing human versus bot matches, it would be very nice to have the human player actually co-casting. I think it would be so he can share his thoughts on what a bot could have done or what he did think what a bot would do. It would be very interesting.
Indeed, if I can arrange it, I would be glad to do that.
And on a general basis, you could also try to get a co-caster as well. I think casting benefits if there's more than one person most of the time.
I agree, though it comes down to organizing it. But yes, I would like to do that. Maybe not for every cast I do, but I'm very much open to that.
Yeah, maybe have some of the bot authors also comment only for their bot games, but for example.
Well, all I can say is if you're a bot author and want to do that, just write to me and we will try to arrange it.
And now I'm happy my bot sucks so badly.
We can still cast it.
Yes, you can. But I think you want more than zero viewers, so I would recommend it.
Potato games are fun sometimes. So the last topic I have is, I mentioned quality control for bots. And in the SSC AIT ladder, we have student and regular division. I don't know how it's called, whatever. So student and not student division. And I think a little bit more differentiation might be in order. Perhaps it is early to talk about that, but on the bot ladder, I would like to have a student, a developer, and a corporate division. Maybe it's just a label, and they don't reflect the levels of bots, although they kind of do. And it's important to know what kind of bot you're playing against. What do you think about that idea?
Are there so many student bots? I think most of the bots are authors are no longer students. There are some, it's true. And I'm not sure about the corporate thing. There are two major players in that field currently, and both are very inactive in SSCIT, so I don't know.
Maybe that will change in the future. And I think if this scene gets a little bit more exposure, then companies will maybe feel the need to have some bot teams here, even if it's just for PR reasons. Maybe I'm a little bit too optimistic about that, but yeah, it could not hurt to prepare for that eventuality.
No, won't hurt to try.
And that being said, I'm constantly thinking how to popularize this scene, because we are a relatively small group of hobbyists, and if you have any good insights about that, I would be glad to hear that.
I think you and Jay are actually doing quite a good job. That I don't think it would be good to have more than a few blogs from authors themselves, but well, it's hard. it's very niche topic. Programming bots for a game that's over 20 years old. I don't think there will ever be a huge amount of coders.
Not a huge, but I think this kind of hobby can grow a lot. Because StarCraft Brood War, where the remastered version, is still going strong, and it is actually gaining popularity in the last few years. It is insane, because it's a 20-year-old game, but more and more people are playing it. It's kind of a renaissance, and that might bring the upswing in bot development as well. And of course, don't forget the hype about AlphaStar.
I myself think that it's mostly going to be waiting for Bootwave 5, because most of the popularity in Bootwave right now is in Remastered, which is why we've been why it's not really as big as you might expect it to be.
Yeah, if we get Remastered and we get the bot ladder, I think that would really work out good, very well.
Well, the bot ladder will happen for the current version, because I don't actually see the sense in waiting. But as soon there is Remastered support, we will be working on that.
Is Nightcat still working on the Remastered thing? I don't know. I think he was working a bit, but I didn't. I'm not in the loop currently, so I don't know if he's still on it.
Best of my knowledge, he's working full time on BWAPI 5. As in, he is hired to do that.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, I think we have to. We at least know it is coming, and I understand the anticipation and the maybe a little bit of frustration about this, because there are not much news, and it can feel like a wasted effort to develop for the current version. But in my humble opinion, it is not, because switching versions is not the hard part of this, or probably won't be the hard part of this.
Depending on whether or not the API is the same. I think There were plans to change to a StarCraft II protobuf-like communication, so you'd have to re-implement the client API on top of that. But if that's done, there shouldn't be too much work for most bots.
Yeah, I don't like to speculate, actually, because you can just invent anything then and make decision based on that, and it's just fiction. But I mean, feel free to. I just don't personally do it.
It's not actually speculation. There was talking about using protobuf, so it's not out of the loop.
Not the protobuf stuff, but generally speaking. All right, then thank you very much for being here, and hopefully see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening. If you like the podcast, consider subscribing to the RSS feed or the mailing list. If you would like to support me or the podcast, check out my shop for some cool items. Link will be in the description. Thank you for listening. If you like the podcast, consider subscribing to the RSS feed or the mailing list. If you would like to support me or the podcast, check out my shop for some cool items. Link will be in the description.